just kind of hard to tell what's right or what's wrong. Like, yeah. Religion-wise, there's so many, and I don't know. I believe there is some kind of God, but yeah. How do you know?
Have your feelings changed since Tark's been around?
It is admirable to see how devoted he is, though. It is admirable to see how devoted he is, though.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do anything. He's not one of those people that just preach it, he actually follows it.
So, my boy.
Sometimes it does make me go, like, damn. Like, there's something there. Like, he really cares a lot.
This guy right here, this guy's trying to build a Dawa center in our country. I'm not talking to you right now. You're a cello. You're trying to build a Dawa center here. Islam is violent by nature.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is exactly why we need the Deen Center, because we have over 300 million Americans who know nothing about Islam, like this guy.
Yeah, this guy's trying to build a Dawah center.
The Deen Center will be a source of light, a mega Dawah center, an educational center, helping our brothers and sisters in humanity truly understand Islam and Muslims. Get in on all the rewards and blessings. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. We are about to jump into a conversation and send a invite to the Deen to one of the most popular YouTube figures that's out there with over 300 million followers, and I've been told many of them are Muslims. He used to identify as an evangelical Christian, but now identifies as an agnostic. And recently, there have been some controversies that have been surrounding this individual by the name of James Stephen Donaldson. You might know him as AKA Mr. Beast.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God, His name's Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah.
You're not Mr. Beast.
No.
Alhamdulillah,
I'm not Mr. Beast.
Have you heard of Mr. Beast?
Yeah. This is a complete surprise that this is the topic.
Uh-huh. You didn't know we were going to talk about Mr. Beast.
No, I just found out right now with everyone else.
Is that right? He's like the most popular YouTube figure out there?
Yes.
All right, we've had some people recommend that we talk about him. I'll tell you what we know so far from what we've got is that his cameraman is actually Tariq.
Your feelings changed since Tariq's been around?
It is admirable to see how devoted he is, though.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do anything. He's not one of those people that just preach it, he actually follows it. Sometimes it does make me go, like, damn, like, there's something there. Like, he really cares a lot.
About Muslim, I was told. Some of the Muslims have actually classified him as the Dajjal, the deceiver, right? So we can touch upon what is actually the Dajjal, because some people can start actually labeling him the Dajjal. He's also been inviting people to Elon Musk's Neuralink.
I thought Elon Musk gave you a Neuralink, bro.
I would love one, by the way. After the first couple thousand go through, I want one.
Yeah. You put one in?
Oh, 100%.
I would.
You'll be able to make so much money that it doesn't matter how much the procedure will cost. Anyone will be able to afford it.
Like, does it scare you at all?
No,
you're like pretty much a robot at that point.
We already are.
It's crazy. I think he's just making people less human.
Probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
He was flirting with death. 50 hours, he buried himself. 7 days also. So he's been making some wells, doing some good things. But the idea here is now to, before we send him an invite, we're going to show some clips also and see how, when your heart attaches, you got a lot of Muslim youth attach themselves to public figures like this. And then when they start flirting with atheism or calling themselves a god or other things that are connected to some of the controversies, are true or not true, do they risk themselves from something going innocent to some of these pranks and whatnot? And then you start, this is somebody who you idolize. Is there evidence that this can, because now the heart attaches and they can take them off, Allah knows where?
Yeah, definitely there's a lot of danger, because this is not something I knew, but most of his fans are children. Mm. Like, he has 300 million subscribers, the biggest YouTube channel, and most of them are children around the world. And even without getting into the controversies, like just what is being shown on his channel, it normalizes for children like gambling. That's like the biggest thing.
Okay, boom, right there. I didn't know that. See, I'm already learning. So yeah, it normalizes because, gambling.
I mean, this is a big controversy that has come out. He had a squeaky clean reputation. And then like dominoes falling, like people are coming out with these allegations against Mr. Beast, criticizing his business, former employees, videos that they've made have gone viral. And just by chance, I happen to see some of these videos.
You're so more it's fresh, on, than
my,
I am. Yeah,
fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
So
it
like
was fresh on your mind. And we
just like last week, I was watching these former employees like. Yeah. One former employee came out and was saying that basically he was tortured. Like he was tortured by Mr. Beast because there was this challenge, 30 days in solitary confinement. You know, this is the challenge. Every day that you're in solitary confinement, $10,000. So you can win up to $300,000. And they put him like in this room, basically, isolation. And videotaped it, and he was having like a mental breakdown because he's alone. They're like putting him through different challenges, like run a marathon on a treadmill. He had blisters like all over his feet, like in excruciating pain. And he, by day number 6 and 7, he's having like this mental psychological breakdown, and they're telling him, you know, can't you do a little bit more? Like, we need to have a video out of this. Allegedly, you know, this is what he's claiming about Mr. Beast. So he's in this interview, this former employee, he's like crying, and it's very hard to watch to see this guy crying because of his experience with Mr. Beast. Mm-hmm. So things like that, a lot of their stunts are fake. Some are not, but some are actually fake. They're scripted. Some of their stuff is scripted. They make it seem like it's just genuine. But it's actually fake. Again, these are allegations. I'm not saying that that's what it actually is. And then, gambling. Because they have these kinds of competitions, like buy our merchandise and we're going to potentially put money in your order, like $100 or $1,000 in your order when we send it off. So that's like gambling. You're spending, you know, $20 to get a Mr. Beast shirt. And then with the hope that there's going to be like an iPhone in your package coming to you. That's like, or he has these subscriber challenges, like subscribe and we're going to select someone to come and compete, or we're going to give them $1 million or whatever it may be. Like, this is a kind of chill, like it's actual gambling. If you're not actually spending money, you're spending attention because you're watching his stuff, and he monetizes that, obviously. Every minute, every second that you watch someone's video on YouTube, if they're a monetized channel, they get money from advertisers from YouTube. So this is normalization of gambling for children and getting them used to that. So that, and it's not regulated. So usually when you have lotteries, for example, or you have any kind of gambling, you have a lot of laws and regulations that you have to abide by. But he abides by nothing. Like, there's no regulations. Again, that's what they allege. Mm-hmm. And he's running these kinds of lotteries for kids, and he's making millions of dollars off of them, hundreds of millions maybe. And then his subscribers, people are subscribing with the hope of winning prizes. And so that's a type of exploitative behavior.
So if you're a Muslim parent, a Christian parent, someone who now obviously wants to raise your kids right, and you think it's innocent, right? It seems innocent. He's doing some good, making some wells and whatnot. So you get to not really knowing what's going on beneath the surface. You leave your kids all day watching this guy, and then the heart starts to attach to it. Is that going to have good effects in the future? And now you wonder why your kid's starting to justify or going down the path of just one example of gambling.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy the level of exploitation. There was one example that stuck with me that Mr. Beast tweeted to his followers on Twitter that because he has this product, like a chocolate bar called Feastables. And they claim that, oh, it's a healthier chocolate bar, but it's actually not. It's like even more fatty and sugary than other chocolates. But he told his followers that, look, we want you to go to Walmart that carries our product, Feastables, and the shelves are a little bit disordered. So you go and put like the shelf in order with our product, with Feastables, right on eye level, and we'll choose a random one of you to win, you know, $10,000. So he's like encouraging all of his followers, these kids, to go and basically work for him to like stocking shelves or like making sure, because sometimes in some of these shelves in Walmart or whatever store, it gets disheveled, right? It gets messy. So he's telling them to go and like put my product, like display it for me, and with this vague promise of we'll give you $10,000 if you randomly are selected. So this is like very exploitative, right? Child labor. But wow. Yeah,
let's get into some of these clips and go ahead and break it down and unpackage it.
Giving yourself for marriage?
Are you?
No, nice. Absolutely.
I love this.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
What about
I'm not religious. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you saving yourself for marriage?
I'm not religious.
At all?
No, I'm not.
What about that Jesus?
No.
He's saying no.
Yeah, like,
are you atheist?
You just ask the same question ways. The answer's the same.
Atheist or agnostic?
Agnostic. Like, I mean, the place is, the universe is complex, and yes. Like, it's hard to believe someone didn't do it. But like, I don't know.
Even if I didn't see that clip, he doesn't strike me as a religious person. Like, people who like he's even before like these revelations came out about him, we haven't even scratched the surface. By the way, because inappropriate contact with minors, like that's an allegation that has come up.
People who are working for him and other things.
Yeah, they seem to have some weird symbols and codes that they use. Like, it's disturbing stuff.
Disturbing.
Because he's targeting children with his content, and then there are these forums where him and his team have, like, Discord servers that have all these minors, and they're sharing pornographic material, for example. They're making inappropriate jokes. Like, so, because he had this partner, he recently disavowed this partner, Chris Tyson. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, best buds and working on this, you know, this content together. But then he comes out and says, actually, I'm a woman, and he is transgender now.
The person that was working for Mr.
Yeah,
Beast.
His right-hand man.
Right-hand man.
Right-hand man, his sidekick. So I'm now, you know, transgender. And this is Chris Tyson. He had a wife and a son. And he basically says, no, well, I'm leaving my wife now. I'm a woman. So Mr. Beast did not disavow him at that point. Said and supported him. He was like, if you are not good with this, you're a transphobe. You're a bigot. You're hateful. So he stood by his partner. But again, look at all of these children who are watching YouTube, watching Mr. Beast. Like, and then he's still coming on, you know, as a woman on these Mr. Beast videos, getting millions, hundreds of millions of views.
No Muslim should be watching this. What do you think? What do you say?
Yeah, definitely. This is something that we should not be watching. Your children should not be watching it. But it's designed. It's designed like that's whole Mr. Beast's whole mission. Like, he's seen as a genius of YouTube. How can you get attention and keep people hooked? Because that's how the YouTube algorithm works. It's on the basis of engagement. So people, if you are clicking a video and then within a second you click out because it's not interesting to you, YouTube is monitoring that, tracking that, and the video won't be shown to more people because clearly it's not interesting enough to hold people's attention. YouTube wants you to be hooked. Like, you watch a video and you're watching it for the whole thing, for 10 minutes or 2 hours, it doesn't matter. That's the number one metric. And Mr. Beast has perfected the art of keeping people hooked, keep them watching. Like, it doesn't matter how low your attention span is. Like, they're flashing basically all these images, all these quick cuts with the most, you know, over-the-top scenarios. Like, you know, stay in this circle on the ground for a day and you'll get $100,000. You know, you'll win a Lamborghini. Keep your hand on this Lamborghini or keep your hand on this private jet. The longest, the last person to lift their hand wins the private jet, like a $10 million jet. So people just want to see what's going to happen. So you're watching that and you're hooked and he has your attention and he's monetized that. So this is exploitative in a certain sense, but we're the ones who consent to watching it in the first place. So especially for our kids, we should be the responsible adults and say, okay, maybe no more Mr. Beast.
From this clip here, real quick, if we could just touch upon it before we go to the next, we see this in the culture now, and this is the contrast now when you make, when you compare, you know, the cool thing about being chaste, the cool thing about being morally upright, woman holding to her virginity, man also at the same time until they are husband and wife, how the Creator has legislated. But here you see youth getting pressed. He was getting pressed by Logan Paul saying, what are you saving it for marriage? What are you saying? Like teasing him, like kind of like bullying in a way. Mm-hmm. How would you classify it? And then from there, he talks about his religion. He says he's agnostic, so he used to be Christian. But this is also where we would agree with Christians. This is something that we need to revive, that now, nowadays, the statistics, we're seeing that young girls at the age of, 9, 10, 11, are just doing all sorts of things. And their parents are watching them, you know, joining the cheerleading squad, and they're just like halfway naked out there, and they're wondering. Then they have coaches and, you know, behind the scenes hooking up with these girls. All sorts of scandals are happening, but Islam has the solution here. Islam has a solution. Then they'll tease Muslims about hijab and modesty, but then you see what's happening to the girls, what's happening to your daughters. And then the father is not, he's like, it's not the cool thing to come see the father, to get permission from the father. And then people are actually succumbing to this because it's part of the culture. Even Christians are like, okay, where are you going? Where are you going, dear Samantha? Oh, I'm going with Bob and the boy. Where are you going? Bob and the boy. And you've heard what happened in those college scenarios when they go and hang out, a girl's hanging out with the boys. But then the father doesn't want to step up and say anything because it's not culturally cool to stop that, to be a voice against it. But here comes Islam saying no. This is, and Islam is the solution. It's the solution to these social ills. What do you have to say?
Yeah, the idea of a strong father who is going to protect his daughter, the virtue of his daughter, that ideal has been thrown out by American culture. Like, it's seen as, oh, you're just an old fogey. Like, you're out of touch. Like, what, your daughter, she's just hanging out with the guys. Like, it's none of your business. Like, you can't tell her what to do. You can't tell her how to dress. You can't tell her who to meet. Like, that's stuff from the old days. Like, now we're more progressive. Girl power. Now the really progressive dads, they're actually, you know, getting condoms for their daughters, like teaching them about safe sex. Like, oh, you're empowered, honey. I love you. Go and do whatever you need to do to just experiment. Yeah, just be safe. Yeah, so this is the culture. It's and it's promoted by social media. It's also promoted by New York Times or some of the major news outlets or media outlets, that they present this as the model of masculinity. Like, you as a father have to empower the sexuality of your daughter. And if you don't do that, that means you're a misogynist and you don't actually understand women's independence. Like, you're just backwards if you don't give your daughter prophylactic condoms or whatever to engage in this type of lifestyle.
That's why you see more and more even Christians and just people of conscience coming to Islam, because Islam doesn't bend to this. And Christians are getting fed up seeing this in church. Unbelievable.
Well, good morning, y'all. Good morning. My name is Rushin Kimball. My pronouns are he, him, his. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of Broadway United Methodist Church. And also my drag name is still a work in progress. So if you have any ideas, just please let me know.
Oh, what a holy procession that was.
I mean, so is this something now that you're seeing more and more? We're seeing more and more Christians are really, some are just kind of like, okay, we're modern now, and they're compromising. Islam doesn't compromise.
Yeah, this is like the church giving into liberal reform. So when you open the door to reform, which is what Christians did 200 years ago, and they started reforming and bending the knee to secularism, basically, the secular enlightenment in Europe. And the secular enlightenment says that the most important thing is freedom and equality. So anything that is going to get in the way of maximum freedom and maximum equality is oppressive, and we have to get rid of it. So the church, like any kind of religious tradition, will have regulations that prevent you from just following your desires. So like sex outside of marriage, that's unacceptable, right? That's what Christians believed. But that gets in the way of a person's freedom. Like, what if I don't want to get married? I just want to, you know, sleep with someone that I like and just do what I want to do. That restriction is preventing my maximum freedom. So the church started to reform and saying that, okay, moving from maybe it's not actually a sin, like maybe it's not a, maybe it shouldn't be punished, because there used to be punishments within Christianity. You commit adultery, you commit fornication, there are punishments, punishments for sodomy, for example. But those punishments are seen as restricting people's freedom. So they started bending, they started reforming. Okay, maybe it's not a mortal sin. Maybe it shouldn't be punished. Maybe it's something that we shouldn't even shame, because that's shame culture. It makes people feel bad. If they feel bad, they're not maximizing their freedom. It's also creates inequalities, because some people are promiscuous and some people are not, and we're shaming those who are promiscuous, or we're shaming women, for example, for their body count. That's not really equal situation with men, so we have to get rid of shame entirely. So step by step by step, you get to this kind of degeneracy that we see within the church, whether it's Protestant or even Catholic or Orthodox, doesn't matter. All of these things have been reformed step by step over time. But it's like a domino, dominoes that are falling. But the solution is to not compromise on that first domino. Don't let that first domino fall. And that's what distinguishes Islam. We don't compromise, no matter how much pressure that we get, no matter how much, you know, this is, we're being actively pressured as Muslims. You'll see, you know, you can Google this and see the hundreds of articles that come up. When is Islam going to have its reformation? Because the Christians had a reformation, the Jews had a reformation, like their religions were reformed 200 years ago, or actually the Protestant Reformation was over 500 years ago. But the point is that that's how they modernized, by having a reformation. Like, okay, we understand that God is not the only source of values. You also have to have science and reason and culture and whatever. And Islam has said, no, we don't need to reform. We're going to follow our religion exactly as it was revealed 1,400 years ago. It doesn't matter how much you pressure us, how much you tell us that, oh, you're backwards. No matter how many times you tell us we have to reform, we're going to just say no. And that's why you don't see mosques with a imam with eyeliner talking about his drag name. Like, the reason that we don't have that, it's not by chance. It's not randomly. Like, there's a reason in the religion itself and the way that Muslims understand preserving the revelation, preserving the practice of deen. That's what's preventing it. But may Allah protect us. Like, the forces in the world, they're really putting so much pressure to get Muslims to reform. And they do it by different means. Like, they prop up agents, basically. They say that, oh, this is a wonderful imam, this is a wonderful speaker or whatever. And they put him on the TV, they put him on the news, they promote him. And then he will have some of these ideas. He said, well, maybe, you know, we shouldn't have shame culture. We shouldn't shame the sisters. Maybe we shouldn't pressure the sisters to wear hijab, for example. Like, it's their choice. They're on a hijab journey. Hijab is even the idea that hijab is a choice. Where does this come from? Yeah, everything is a choice. Like, drinking alcohol is also a choice, in the sense that you can drink alcohol if you do, but it's a sin. Like, it's a sin, and it could potentially lead to hellfire. So hijab is a choice in that sense. Like, you can choose to go to hell. Yes, that's true. I can choose to go to hell by doing haram things. That's a choice, but it's not a choice in that there's no punishment for it, right? So, but then we see this kind of narrative, or don't judge. Like, have you heard this? Like, don't judge. Only Allah can judge. We don't have this in Islam. Like, yes, we can judge. If you do something openly and apparently and brazenly, like, you don't care what others think and you're going to sin in the open in front of everyone, then yes, people can judge and they can call it out. And this is an important part of Islam. Amr bin ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding evil. But other religions, they deleted this. They said, no, don't judge, don't shame, don't talk about this stuff. And that's one of the ways that reform happens. So as Muslims, we have to be on guard. We have to take lessons from these other communities, these other religions. Like, look at where they went. They went down the lizard hole, right? That's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, you'll follow the ones who came before you, handspan by handspan, even unto a lizard hole. Like, a lizard hole just, it means like, that's a ridiculous place for someone to go. Like, why would you go into the hole of a lizard in the ground? It's like a very low place. So no rational person who has dignity, who has honor, would go into a lizard hole. But if you're blind, a blind follower, that you're not thinking and you're not understanding, you just follow for the sake of following, then even into a lizard hole, you'll end up. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we see that, like, some Muslims who are trying to imitate Christians, they're making the same mistakes. And Allahu A'lam, maybe there will be in the future an imam who is talking about his dragon name, like in the khutbah, like, oh, it's time for a khutbah for the Jum'ah prayer and Friday prayers, and this is my drag name and here's my makeup. So may Allah protect us, but it's not out of the question if some of these reforms are adopted by Muslims.
Let's get into this next clip.
And we're going to pronounce your name right every single time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you.
100%.
You are a good Christian boy, though. Is it true that your old YouTube banner used to be like a Bible verse?
It did. I used to go to a Christian school back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, it's just kind of hard to tell what's right or what's wrong, like religion-wise. There's so many, and I don't know. I believe there is some kind of God, but how do you know?
Tariq.
Damn, Mark just got so sad.
Oh, this is common, I mean, amongst young people. Very intelligent people, too. They go to the university, and they can be good at math, the secular sciences, and all the other subjects. But then when it comes to this, something that for us is very clear, and then they go ahead and say, oh, there's so many religions, you know, it's confusing, and then they just, you know, get mentally lazy when it comes to this. And instead of going deeper, taking deeper dive, and you say, like, yeah, there's possibly something out there, he's agnostic. But then another, from my experience, speaking to many, many people who have explored so many different man-made religions, and some also from, this is no disparaging or disrespect for someone who might be a Christian follower or any other religion, but we see this a lot where it just doesn't make sense, where this whole concept of God being a man, being part of his creation, people shut off, and then they think that's the end-all, be-all. It stops there. But then they go on and they look further, and they're seeking guidance from the Creator, and they come to submission to the Creator, which means Islam. So is this, how would you analyze this point? Him being a former evangelical Christian to getting to the point of just being kind of lazy. Oh, there's so many religions. Which one is right? And now it's just, I'm agnostic.
Yeah, he hasn't done much research, obviously. He doesn't have much interest in religion. It seems like most of his interest is how to get more money, how to get more subscribers. Mm. And he's expressed that, like, that's his sole focus in life. But when you're on your deathbed and everything is about to end in this life, you're not going to be worried about how many subscribers I had. Like, you're going to be worried about where am I going to end up, what's coming, if anything. That's really going to be what's on your mind. So these people are deluded by dunya and they don't pay any attention to what is to come. Those kinds of thoughts only come when you're faced with death or you're faced with a situation where it's going to come to an end. So that's a reminder for all of us to remember death and to think about what is really important in the grand scheme of our existence. So that's what we can say to Mr. Beast. But as for like investigating other religions, this is something important. Like, religions are not all the same. Their religions are very, very different in their beliefs, in their values, in their history. And it doesn't require you to get a PhD in religion. Like, that information is there, especially as, you know, hopefully Muslims are presenting more and analyzing and debating more, like, well, what does Hinduism actually teach? What does Buddhism actually teach? What does Judaism actually teach, like, in their books? Because we have this weird situation where because of this anti-Muslim hate industry that we're talking about on a previous episode, that there's a lot of material on Islam. Like, people know, the average people know a lot about Islam, often out of context and often like lies, but just they know like certain things about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Like, when did he get married? He had multiple wives, like he engaged in battles, etc., etc. information that is supposed to rub people the wrong way if you're like a secular person, because they want to defame Islam. But those kinds of things, like much more anti-secular, anti-liberal things, are found in Judaism, are found in the Bible. You know, if you have a we were talking about it in the previous episode, that if you have a problem with warfare, if you have a problem that the Prophet, peace be upon him, went to war and engaged in battle, well, you have that in spades in the Bible. You have that in spades in the Bible. You have that in spades with Jesus himself, peace be upon him, according to the Bible. So this is not a consistent principle to disqualify Islam, but you just don't know enough about your own Bible. You don't know enough about like beliefs in Hinduism, in Judaism, the values. So if you like, if you investigate, it's a very lazy thing to say that, oh, well, all religions are basically the same thing. How can we know which one is right? How can we even know? No, there is like a very clear answer to this question. It just requires you to be interested enough to ask questions, to look into it, and do like a basic level of, and that's like, this is, these are questions about who we are, where do we come from, where are we going, like who am I as a person, what's my purpose, what am I doing here, like am I just created to get YouTube views like and subscribers, like that's the whole, you know, the summation of my existence, like that seems, I can't imagine someone being that obtuse like about the world around them and themselves.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into this next and final clip here.
Receive adequate food or medical care. Furthermore, various participants were observed vomiting, passing out, and being taken to a hospital after sustaining injuries. The environment at the shoot was described as disorganized. One participant implied that Jimmy wanted to be regarded as a deity during the filming.
That kind of, he started off talking about some of the things you mentioned earlier when we opened up. But what caught my interest here was this point, if this is true, that now you get to a point where you go from believing in God to wanting to be called God. Is this far-fetched?
No, this is like a typical progression for people who are narcissistic, or they've kind of, they're surrounded by yes men. They're surrounded by people who are constantly saying you're amazing. They're constantly getting praised. Then they start like believing the hype.
Shaitan keeps taking step further and further, huh?
Yeah. So the example that we have is Fir'aun.
Yeah.
Fir'aun is saying that I'm your Lord Most High. Mm-hmm. So that's like the level of delusion, saying that to Musa, Moses. But yeah, we have these mini pharaohs as well, pharaohs, mini pharaohs, who they're not reminded of death. They don't see the finite nature of life. They think that they are, they're being praised. So that must mean that I am something. I am amazing. So praise me, worship me, bow down to me. So it's a very sick mindset.
Very dangerous too, because if you die on this mindset, then it's eternal hellfire forever. I mean, people don't want to sometimes even hear this and they make a joke about it, but the paradise is true. There's a reward for worshiping God alone, for being morally upright, obeying your creator, just like you obey your boss and you get a reward at the end, paycheck, right? And everybody understands the concept of you show up late constantly, you don't do your job, you can get fired. But with the creator of the heavens and earth is the hellfire, right?
Exactly.
So we're trying to help this young man. Is he young? How old is he about?
I think he's early 30s.
Early 30s. So he's not that, I mean, he's a grown man.
And but the thing about also to note, like,
yes,
someone doesn't wake up and say, I'm God or I should be worshipped, like, overnight. It happens step by step. And basically, it's like Allah is giving you, like, some leash. Like,
yes.
You have this arrogant thought and you don't stifle it, or you don't like wake yourself up and be humble and mm-hmm. say like, no, I'm not that great, or no, like, but you just feed into it like, yeah, I did do that, like I did accomplish this, I did, like, and you forget Allah, you forget that everything that you have, everything that you do and you're capable of, that's not you, That is Allah, your creator, is permitting you to do that. And he has given you the capability or the potential to achieve, like you win a competition or you like dominate in some sport. Like, that's not you. That is rizq. That's provision from Allah, and he has given you that. If you are not humble and you just think that that's you, okay, that's step number one. Allah is going to not humble you right at that moment. Allah can do that. Like, Allah can humble. And we've seen there's so many examples of movie stars, musicians, that they have suffered some terrible tragedies and become crippled. There was one, Christopher Reeves, right? He played Superman in the 70s, and he had a horse accident, I think.
Yes.
And then he became paraplegic.
Yeah. Paraplegic, yeah.
Completely paralyzed. Quadriplegic.
Yeah. He's stuck in a wheelchair now, right?
Yeah, or I'm thinking he passed away. But but that's an example. Like, you are at the peak, and then Allah, at any moment, he can take you to the lowest of the low. You don't know when disaster is going to strike. So that in and of itself should make you humble and should make you put your head down and not puff out your chest and think that you are the latest and the greatest. But some people, okay, that tragedy, that like humbling is not going to come immediately. It's just going to, you're going to keep, you have all of these chances to recognize that, no, it's not you. It's Allah. Be humble. You have all of these chances and you don't take them until you get to a point where you're telling people to worship you. And that's when the fall, like the biggest disaster, the biggest humbling is imminent. You know, it's going to come. And that's the worst kind of humiliation and suffering. And it can happen in this life. Okay, you're mentioning the hellfire, and that's true. That is going to come as well. But even in this life, you don't know when disaster is going to strike and humble you in front of the entire globe. So be humble before Allah humbles you.
So James Stephen Dodson, probably God willing, your Muslims fans who will get this also and pass this along to you. Hopefully you're watching, and we'll get you an invitation to the way of life that can keep you away from the hellfire and get you admitted to the eternal paradise and bliss. Let's talk about one more thing before we get into the invitation to Mr. Beef to Islam. Is this Elon Musk and the Neuralink? Do you know much about this?
Yeah.
Fill us in on this. What's this Neuralink and Elon Musk?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a computer implant that interfaces with your brain. And it's supposed to allow you to, I think the application that they displayed was moving like a video chess piece just by thinking. Mm. So you're like you can move something on the screen of a computer just by thinking it because you have the chip implanted.
Wow.
But I think they faced a lot of complications. Like they face a lot of problems with this. But the bigger application, like the expectation is that those kind of problems will be worked out. It will be something that is viable. At first, they're going to say, we want to use this for those who are disabled, those who are paralyzed. We want to give them a second chance at life. We're going to implant it, and they'll be able to like interface with a computer, like write in a letter just by thinking, like move the mouse just by thinking, play video games just by thinking, like all of these kinds of applications. It's going to help the disabled. But you can imagine a scenario where in the future they mandate it. Like you have to get this implant. Why? Because it's for safety reasons. Like we have to monitor your heart rate at all times. Like, well, if you have a heart attack and no one's around to help you, if you have this chip implanted, we can get medical services to you. Or what about terrorists? Like, what about people who want to cause harm? We need to monitor that. The government has the authority to monitor that. They will bring like a security reason to mandate getting this kind of implant. And they're talking about it already. I don't know if you saw the World Economic Forum. They had presentations on this type of technology for workplace application. So if your employer wants to make sure they're getting maximum productivity out of their workers, they have the plant and the employer can monitor the brain waves.
Wow.
And, oh, your brain waves, because depending on what you're focusing on, your brain waves change. So if you're focusing on work, you have a certain wave pattern. If you're focusing on, like, you're just goofing off, or you're on social media or whatever, or you, even you're just not on social media, you're daydreaming. Like, you're thinking about, you know, what you're going to have for dinner that night. Your brainwave changes. And then they can monitor, well, 8 hours of work, you are only actually paying attention to work for 5 hours of that 8 hours or 3 hours. So we can maximize productivity that way, by that kind of surveillance, even in your mind. Like, we're surveilling your mind. So that's like a level of dystopia. But they're talking about it on the World Economic Forum. Like, oh, this is a great, you know. Yeah, there are some safety concerns. Like, yeah, we have to make sure that there is some checks and balances in place. But this is coming, and this is what we want to roll out. Mm-hmm. So it's shocking, like, the level of dystopia. But that's what modernity is about. That's what liberal secularism is about. That's what the Enlightenment is about. It's bringing more technologies to control people under this kind of beautiful message of freedom and equality. You're going to live a more pleasurable life because we're going to give you your Netflix straight to your brain. We're going to let you play video games, you know, just using your brain. We're going to, you know, satisfy all of your desires in terms of what you like, even like pornography straight to your brain, like your virtual reality, like all of these kinds of promises on the basis of technology to serve your desires. That's what the modern world is built on. Mm-hmm. And it's like slavery. It's like enslaving people to their desires, and you control them through technology. So Neuralink is the next step.
Let's get one more question. People, Muslims who have, because we have deep, detailed descriptions of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, liar, deceiver, who will come towards the end of times, and now some Muslims putting this label on an individual like this, seeing that he's deceiving many of the millions of Muslims who are following him. What are your comments on that?
On Elon Musk?
No, not on Elon Musk. They might have called him also.
Some people call Elon Musk, Antichrist.
Yeah. What about, Elon Musk has been called Antichrist also?
Yeah.
Well, we could touch upon that, but also Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. Beast. I don't know. Yeah, so the idea, the Antichrist has very specific description in the Islamic sources and Hadith. So one of the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that every prophet that has come has warned his people of the Antichrist. And I will also do so. I'll describe him, just to paraphrase the Hadith. So the description of the Antichrist, that's to help us understand so that we don't get deceived. Because the whole idea of Dajjal, like in Arabic, Antichrist is Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal. And Masih al-Dajjal means deceiver, arch deceiver, and deception in a certain way, like presenting something as the truth, but it's actually falsehood, and presenting falsehood as if it's the truth. So the Antichrist is the arch deceiver. And how is he going to deceive people? Well, it's in his very name. It's in the very name, Masih al-Dajjal, Antichrist. He's going to pretend to be the chosen Christ, anointed one, and present himself as, you know, this chosen of God. That's the first step. And many people are going to be deceived by that and follow him, that he is the Christ. And then he's going to further deceive people by saying he's actually God. Mm-hmm. He's actually God. He's the Lord. And he'll come with certain tricks and deceptions that will seem like miracles, like he's doing these amazing miracles. So he has to be supernatural. He has to be the Son of God, or he has to be God. And that's his deception, that people will start worshiping him and following him. So that's like the prime characteristic of the Antichrist, is that he is going to call people to worship him. But he has other characteristics as well, like he is one-eyed. He's one-eyed, which means that not that he's like a cyclops, like just one eye in the middle of his head, but one of his eyes is deformed. It has like a defect. So he's one-eyed in that sense. That's one of the characteristics of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. He also is said to be Jewish. This is actually in Christianity, that's the claim about the Antichrist. In Islam, that's the claim as well, that he has a Jewish mother. And he will have many Jewish followers and followers amongst humanity in general. and Islam.
Okay.
Both. So the hadith on, he'll have many Jewish followers from the city of Isfahan, which is in Iran.
Yeah.
It's a, one of the, I think the third largest city in Iran is Isfahan. So the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning Isfahan, the city, and there are Jews that are in Iran, obviously. So, yeah, these, you can study all of the characteristics of the Dajjal, and it's important to study it. It's important to talk about the Antichrist. Sometimes when you talk about the Antichrist, some Muslims, confused Muslims, will say, oh, what is this conspiracy theory? Don't talk about conspiracy theories, like, we want to, like, this is immature, and they'll just wave their hands like and dismiss it. No, we have to talk about
these
the Antichrist.
These are authentic narrations.
Yes, these are authentic narrations. It's not what I'm talking about in Sahih Bukhari, for example, Sahih Muslim. Like, these are authentic narrations about the Antichrist, and we have to talk about it. And when we speculate, like, oh, Jimmy, Mr. Beast is the Antichrist, like, yeah, we can tone it down with the speculation, but still the thought, like, where we're looking, like, who we're waiting. And the Sahaba, actually, we're waiting too.
And we're encouraged. There's du'as that we make to protect us.
Yeah, du'a to protect against the Antichrist. And every salah you can make du'a against, every prayer. You in the second tashahud, you can make du'a. But also, the Sahaba were waiting and they're expecting. And they're asking the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are we going to do when the Antichrist comes? What should we do? And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if I'm here with you, I'll be enough, like, I'll be your shield against the Antichrist. I'll protect you. But so that's how imminent they felt, like, he's at any moment. So we also at any moment should expect that the Antichrist is going to emerge, and it's going to be the great fitna. How are we preparing for it? That's the question. Mm-hmm. How are we preparing for it? And you prepare for it with taqwa. You prepare for it by not engaging in celebrity worship. You prepare for it by realizing the nature of the dunya, like, the most powerful people, the most influential people, they are controlled by a Dajjal system. And people have noticed this. Like, why is one-eyed symbolism everywhere? One-eyed symbolism.
Why is that? Huh?
Why is that? You know, people ask. And
it's all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place. So even Christians have noted, like, I see a one eye everywhere. But they don't have the hadith about the Dajjal being one-eyed. So they don't have the same concept of the Antichrist having one eye. They're just wondering, like, what they've picked up on the fact, like, on the dollar bill, you have that one eye on the, they consider it like a Masonic, like a Freemason type of symbol. But you see this one, like, on so many company logos, in the Olympics, the opening ceremony that just happened this past month. They had, like, a horse, someone on a horse with one eye. A lot of one-eyed symbolism within the opening ceremony and even the uniforms, like Israel. Like, the Israeli athletes were wearing one eye on their uniforms in the competition. So this is, why one eye? Like, what does that mean? Like, why are
you putting it? What do you interpret this as? What kind of subtle messages are being pushed?
It's a calling card. This is the calling card of the Antichrist. That's what it is.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, that there's no doubt.
And there is not as much detail. You're also a student compared to religion. You studied all the different religions out there. Is there anything that has as much detail, authentic sources on this subject of the Antichrist, Dajjal, as in Islam?
No, there's nothing else. So they don't have the information.
I think this could be a good source for Christians right now, Jews, whoever are out there, and they are really fascinated with the subject. This could be a source of them coming to Islam, just looking into this topic through the Islamic sources, huh?
Yeah. Look at the Islamic sources, and then the Islamic sources from 1400 years ago are going to confirm what you're seeing now right in front of your eyes. And it's not like vague prophecies like you find with some of these. Not Nostradamus type of vague prophecies like, oh, you know, how many of these Christian evangelical pastors have claimed that the world is going to end like in 2021 or 2014 or like and it never happens, right? Because they're just vague things that or numerology. No, in Islam, it's like very specific things, like concrete things. Like, this is what the Antichrist is. I'll give you an example. Like, one of the warnings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the Antichrist is going to come with something that is presented to people as like a garden, a beautiful garden, and people will have the opportunity to go into this garden. But when they go into it, it'll actually be the hellfire. And then on the other hand, the Antichrist is going to present something that looks like hell, like a burning inferno. And if you go into that, you choose that option, it's actually a lush garden. It's a beautiful paradise. So this is part of the deception of the Dajjal. But this, what is this exactly referring to? Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. But there's another narration about the Dajjal who is going to travel and able to go into every city of the world. And wherever he goes, he brings prosperity. Wherever he goes, you know, the grass grows greener, the crops are more bountiful, and he is just traveling throughout the globe with this kind of what seems like he's blessed, like he has this power. And whoever avoids him and doesn't accept him with open arms, they suffer poverty, they suffer drought, they suffer difficulty. And so this is a big sign, like we can't just look at prosperity, we can't just look at influence and wealth as a sign of being accepted by God. Mm-hmm.
We got a few more minutes and we're out of time. We're going to get to the invitation to him. I just want to ask you a couple more questions. Tell me this, do you feel it's just asinine when, unfortunately, some of the Christians out there who we want to have discussions with us, but they actually think we're the Antichrist?
Yeah, that's weird. Like,
weird, huh?
Because we're preaching against the Antichrist.
Yeah.
We're preaching against the Antichrist. We're preaching against the Antichrist system. And the Antichrist doesn't want you to be devoted to God alone and the Creator alone. Like, the Antichrist wants you to worship Him. So, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he didn't claim to be Christ. He didn't claim to be the Messiah. He didn't claim that. So we acknowledge the true Messiah. The true Messiah is Jesus Christ.
Let's give an open invitation out to any Christian out there who wants to have a discussion with myself and you to come on the Dean Show. Let's have a nice discussion. We can talk with some topics. We can talk about Jesus. We'll talk about Jesus. We can talk about the Antichrist. If you're a Christian out there and you want to work on a common good, let's do that. One pastor that comes to mind, that pastor that was recently on a PBD podcast, Pastor Cliff. You have anybody else that you would want to come on that can be someone? Candace Owens? What do you think?
Candace
come on,
Owens.
Candace, let's talk. Who else? Tucker Carlson?
Tucker Carlson.
Let's have a conversation. Talk to Muslims, not about Muslims. Anyone else?
Yeah, those would be really good to have discussions with. Yeah.
Let's talk, guys. The open invitation. Send them the invitation here. Now, we're coming to an end here. I want to give him and the others, his followers, he has what I've been told, the devout Muslim Tariq. Tariq is his cameraman, if I'm not mistaken. He can just sit back idly, or hopefully he's given him some dawah, helping to educate him. And we're going to go ahead and extend that invitation to the way of life that can protect him from the torments in the grave. He spent some time in the grave, but when he did that, it was with cameras and microphone, didn't get him out like this. But once you're in the grave, and now we believe there's a different life you're going to be experiencing there. It's either the hellfire, a piece of it, or a paradise. That's a scary place, and there's nobody who's going to be able to get you out. You're stuck there, right?
No camera.
So before that happens, let's give them the invitation. The invitation to Mr. Beast, James Stephan, to Islam, and to others.
Yes, we invite Jimmy and his followers and his cast to Islam, to look into Islam, investigate, ask questions, don't dismiss the purpose of life. What is the purpose? Why am I here? You know, is your job just to gain a paycheck, get viewers? Like, what is really the purpose? Mm-hmm. And everyone has to ask himself or herself that question. So we invite people to ask that question and explore the answers and the answers that Islam provides.
What would you say are the most profound evidences? Because it's not blind faith in Islam. And what I've found that really stands out from the rest, I've looked at all the different religions out there, and in one way or another, when you open up a world religion book, you see that it's calling to creation worship. And the beautiful thing about Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation, is the sole focus on worshiping the one Creator, the same Creator. Jesus worship, Moses worship, last and final messenger, son of mankind, Prophet Muhammad worship, only worshiping one and only one God. and nothing else besides him. That just stood out. And it's based on solid proofs and evidences. Where would you point people in just this minute that we have left? What fascinated you? What took you to that level that you embraced Islam wholeheartedly, not just blind faith? Because people think just religion is part of your culture. If you're Serb, you might be Orthodox Christian. If you're Croatian, you're Catholic. If you're from this area, you're this type of Protestant Christian. And that's what my family did. That's what my grandparents did. But then you're not. And then you mentioned you also have some religious figures, 50% of, this is the first time I heard this, of actual rabbis who don't even believe in God. You quoted something. So you got people just going along because it's cultural. But what is it about Islam that stood out? What's the evidence, the overwhelming evidence, to prove that this is indeed from the Creator?
There are a lot of evidences. The number one thing is that Islam is the only pure, true monotheism. And that's what humans naturally believe, that there is one Creator God, and He is all-powerful, and He is all-knowing. That's like a universal belief that you see across cultures. Even cultures that are polytheistic, they still have the belief in one all-powerful Creator God. And this is because this is a natural thing that is studied, actually, in the cognitive science of religion, for example, that belief in one powerful Creator God is a biologically rooted belief that people have. So that's why Islam is very convincing and compelling to a lot of people. It just aligns with your nature, the idea of one true God, and you only focus your worship on Him, because ultimately He's the one that decides everything. He's the one who's created you, and everything is in His hands. So that's the one very compelling evidence. The most compelling evidence is the true monotheism, pure monotheism in Islam, that's not found in other religions, not in Judaism, not in Christianity, etc. The other thing is, look at the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Look at his success. And this is something relevant for Mr. Beast. You want to talk about subscribers. Like, Islam is going to be the most subscribed to religion within a few decades, actually. It's projected by 2050. Islam is going to be the most, we're going to have the most subscribers in terms of Islam. So he's concerned about subscribers. Think about Islam in that sense. If the Prophet, peace be upon him, was not from God, then how was he able to have so much success? Like, this is one of the miracles. Like, a man who was pretty much living in the desert of Arabia, a very weak people politically. You had other superpowers at the time. You had the Byzantines, you had the Sassanids, who Persians basically, who were the superpowers. Then Islam is founded. The Prophet, peace be upon him, comes. And he is able to unite the Arabian Peninsula. He is able to conquer Persia. He's able to spread the religion from east to west within just 100 years. Even after his passing away, his followers were able to spread the religion. So that kind of success that has lasted to this day, like, there's no other force in the world that has done more to direct people to worship of one God alone. You could say, well, what about Christianity? Well, the thing about Christianity is that Jesus didn't do that. According to Christianity, Jesus was killed, and his followers were oppressed for 300 years. And then after the Roman Empire took on Christianity, did they take on the Christianity of Jesus, like what Jesus taught? Or did they take the paganistic Christianity of Paul, Pauline Christianity? So is it really Jesus that is so influential, or was it Paul that was so influential? Like, that's the ambiguity or the question that comes with Christianity. But with Islam, it's very clear. This is all from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. His success, that's a sign from God. That is a miracle from God that we can all observe, because it's a historical fact. And other religions don't have this. Like, Buddha also has been, his followers attribute many miraculous things to his life. That he was also doing great things. But guess what? There's no evidence of that. There's no proof of that. Some of the Hindu gods, you know, are these mythical figures. They are also attributed with, like, Arjuna, for example. They're also attributed with all kinds of spectacular feats, superhuman feats. None of that is documented. There's no history of that. But with Muhammad, peace be upon him, it's all historical documentation. It's all known academically how Islam spread and how it continues to spread. So this is one of the strongest evidences for Islam is the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the spread of Islam to this day.
It's unbelievable. I don't think anybody who's genuine and sincere and they're seeking guidance from the Creator within themselves, saying, oh, the one who created me, created this universe, guide me. It reminds me of an authentic statement from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon him, where God Almighty is saying that all of my slaves are misguided unless I guide them. So ask me of my guidance. How many people actually ask, say, the one who created this universe, it didn't just create itself, it didn't come from nothing, guide me, the one who's responsible for this. I'm lost without you. Just guide me. You're not calling upon Muhammad. You're not calling upon Jesus. You're not calling upon anything in creation but the one who created creation. I think if anyone, would you agree, is doing that earnestly, sincerely within themselves, and then they look into Islam. They investigate. They look into the life. They look into the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad. How are they going to miss this truth? Is that...
That's a good question, yeah. How can they miss it?
How? I don't think it's possible. If you're sincere, what are the qualities? Sincerity?
Yeah, you have to be an honest person. Honest. Yeah, that's what sincerity is, right? Yeah. Is you're honest. You are willing to compare. You know, mm-hmm. You're willing to do the research to compare. And some people can't do like full-on research, but the main thing that you can do is like read the Quran. Mm-hmm. Like read the Quran and ask yourself, did like a human being write this? Like, is there any kind of literature that is like this? Any type of man-made book or man-made writing that is comparable to this? Like just in the way, in the style, the structure, the topics, like all of that together, when you read a few pages, like it becomes very clear. Mm-hmm. Then look at the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, like Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at his life and look at his mission. And that as well, like, you'll be amazed. And many people have become Muslim from the West because they looked at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
When you look at, just real briefly, he was known as the trustworthy in his community.
Sadiq al-Amin, yeah.
Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy. He was someone who couldn't read or write, is correct? He was somebody who came, and now over 23 years, this is a whole different topic in and of itself, but just some things to think about when he was spreading Islam, which actually started with the first man, Adam, and that's why you have that consistent message throughout time, that same call of submitting your will, calling humanity to submit their will to one and only one God and being morally upright, and it just continues all the way to the last of fundamental measure, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Here, when he's now, like any politician or anyone is getting some kind of headway and they try to buy him out, when he was offered all the power, the money, the status, the everything to abandon this message, said, no way, it's not happening, is right? And then when you study his life of simplicity, abandoning the things of this world when they're offering to him, and consistently keep going forward, and then not just the miracle of the Quran, but then his life, you see prophecies, miracles happening. How is it fathomable? It's not fathomable that this would be an imposter. You can actually sniff out an imposter, but many people, they get caught up in the hate industries, deception and lies that are pushed out there, and they swallow this hook, line, and sinker instead of looking into things themselves, sitting down with Muslims, visiting a mosque, and having a discussion where we can put things in context. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's right on the money. That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. That you have to be open-minded, talk to people, visit the mosque, visit, you know, talk to a Muslim, and or just look online. Yeah. You know, all the sources are there online for free.
If somebody wants to now... So we delivered a message to Mr. Beast and other people out there on Islam. You've done a lot of debates actually with atheists, with people of other religions and Christians and whatnot,
Jews,
and people who are
Hindus,
struggling, Muslims also who go to university and then they get fascinated with teacher, and then he takes them on a spin and they start flirting with atheism. You've had all those top atheists out there. You've dismantle their arguments. Where can they find this?
Yeah, you can find the debates on Muslim Skeptic. That's the channel name. And we have a playlist of debates. And you can see the debates that I've had with atheists. I had a debate with an atheist on why Islam is true.
Yeah.
You know, let's prove that Islam is the true religion. And he's like one of the top atheist debaters in the world. His debates get millions of views. So I had a debate with him in person. It was a very spicy mm-hmm. debate because he started getting enraged when he couldn't respond to some of my arguments, and he acted very erratically. So That's entertaining to say the least. But also debated Christians, debated Jews, Hindus. So check that out on the playlist, Muslim Skeptic Channel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And I got a gift for Mr. Beast and anybody else. Go to thedeanshow.com. See what we're talking about for yourself. We'll get you a free copy. Free. My gift to you of the Quran. If you have any other questions, also 1-800. Mark this down. Don't be a troll. Let's have a conversation. Take the high route. 1-800-662-4752. Ask us your questions. We'll be more than happy to help facilitate you to come to a mosque to visit, and a whole new world can open up. We'll see you next time, God willing, inshallah. Until then, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.